Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome. Glad you tuned in today, and a very happy, beautiful Tuesday to you. So I have a question for you. Ready? Are you excited about the person that you're becoming? Are you in awe of the fact that you are someone God absolutely loves? Do you really believe that when you came to Christ, He made you a brand new creation, that you're not this subtle improvement of who you once were? I'm telling you what, it's so often we as believers will live our lives under the shadow of condemnation, we'll drag the baggage of our past with us, and we have this gnawing sense that we're just mostly clean. But He's made us brand new creatures, creations in Christ. We're creatures, brand new creatures in Christ. And I'm so excited to talk about that today. My guest is Gail Dudley. She's written a book, Ready to Change My Name, A Spiritual Journey from Fear to Faith. I'll get her on in just a moment. On Facebook today, I asked a question. I said, what new name do you suppose Christ has given you? Kaja says faithful. Kelly says beloved and faithful. Susan says, Lily, cared for, beautiful and pure. Jean says, friend. Cindy says, treasured. Let's see here. Luann says, prayer warrior. Boy, so many good ones. What an amazing thought. Belinda says, my beloved daughter is what comes to mind. Cindy says, warrior. What do you say? What would you think that Jesus would call you? What name would He give you? Armed and dangerous? I'd love to know. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. I invite you into the conversation today. And real quick before I get Gail on, I just want to remind you, we're in week two of our Faith and Fitness Challenge. And so if you've not signed up yet, it is not too late. These are very doable disciplines. You're going to add a physical and a spiritual discipline each week. And this really will change your life. I believe it. They're just basic, easy disciplines, but they're so healthy and life-giving. So last week, the two disciplines were this. Drink your water, 8 to 10 glasses a day, or half your body weight in ounces, one or the other, and then read the Word. Drink in the water of the Word. Just open the Bible every day, even if it's for a few minutes. Take in your water and drink in the water of the Word. This week, started yesterday, is stretch your muscles and stretch your faith. And it's as simple as getting out of bed in the morning, taking a couple cleansing breaths, stretching towards the ceiling, touching your toes, laying on your back, pulling your knees in. Just kind of gently warm up your muscles, take some deep breaths. Do it in the morning, do it in the night, and then stretch your faith. And so that means whatever area you're tempted to worry about, whatever area you tend to take on your own, engage your faith and trust that more rests on God's shoulders than on yours, okay? So how do you sign up? You do it for free at our website, myfaithradio.com. And if you sign up, your name goes in a drawing. At the end of 6 weeks, we'll draw two names for some gift baskets with some fun fitness goodies. You'll get an email on Wednesdays encouraging you. There'll be a link to my blog, which I'll be posting every Monday about those disciplines. On my blog, I'll be giving away two copies of my book, Balance That Works When Life Doesn't. So I want to say congratulations to last week's winners, Nicole and Sandy. So if you post a comment on the blog, your name goes in a drawing for books as well. So it's a fun journey for free. Just we're doing this together, and I'm excited about it. So sign up at myfaithradio.com. Okay, we're talking about our identity in Christ, that we are brand new in Him. And really, He wants us to be free. He wants us to be whole. And let me tell you about our guest. We'll get her on the show. Gail Dudley serves as a speaker and author with a passion to provide guidance to God's people as they navigate through their spiritual journey. In 2009, Gail was ordained as pastor with a calling to train and equip the saints for the work of the ministry. As a strategic thinker and creative voice, Gail has worked collaboratively towards greater vision with organizations and ministries while engaging and encouraging and empowering individuals to accomplish their goals. Currently, Gail is the president of At the Table with Gail, a consulting firm focused on ministry, nonprofit, and personal development, and she previously served as vice president of diversity for a women's evangelistic ministry serving women around the world. She is the wife of Reverend Dr. Kevin Dudley, senior pastor of the church at North Point in Columbus, Ohio, and mother of Alexander and Dominic, and you can learn more about her on the web at GailDudley.com. Gail, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Good to be with you. So we like to start out all of our conversations talking scripture, and you chose a powerful passage, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound mind. Love that verse. Talk to us about it.
Well, The book is centered around fear, Ready to Change My Name, A Spiritual Journey from Fear to Faith. And that scripture really jumps out at me because so often many of us as women, we are walking are in and around this world with fear. And For me, I had to remind myself over and over and over again that God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. Mm-hmm. I had to keep telling myself because fear had such a grip upon me that it was literally killing me spiritually.
Boy, why is that? That is exactly true, that we as women tend to have more of a bent towards fear, I think, than men. Why is that, do you think?
I think a lot of it has to do with our upbringing. For me, I had a lot of insecurities. I was always afraid of what may happen instead of just going ahead and taking that risk and living my life. As a wife that's been married almost 22 years, I even had a fear of making sure I was being the wife that I was supposed to be, the fear that I would raise my children correctly, the fear of comparison. And I think as women, it's sad to say, not all women, but there's so many women who will compare ourselves to someone else, compare our living, compare the way we raise our children, compare our socioeconomic status, compare our, if we're married, our husband and their title and what they do, that we live this life based on fear. My daughter is 19, and she's entering her second year at Howard University in Washington, D.C., and I'm so glad I no longer have that bondage of fear, because even with her leaving, we live in Columbus, Ohio, even with her leaving, people were saying, aren't you afraid to send her to a big city? And I could think, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, maybe. Now, no, because I realize that God is directing her path, and we have to live by faith and not by sight.
Mm, so good. So if fear is the woman's basic struggle more often than not, what would you say is the men's? My guess would be that they're not enough, a feeling of they're not going to measure up. What would you say?
I would say that men portray themselves to some degree to be so healthy that I think they become unhealthy in believing something that may not be true. Does that make sense?
Mm, say more.
That they believe that nothing can happen and they can do all things, and they're mentally and readily prepared, that to some degree they may not be prepared because they overreach believing that, I can do this, I have it under control, and they put it in their hands and not in God's hands.
My husband would testify to that. He was an overworker for a long time. Then he got cancer, and he said, the greatest gift God gave him was to put him on his back so he could look up, and he just realized how fragile life really is. It changed him, completely changed him. And so I think you're right. There might be a bent to, because they have such a strong assignment to carry so much, I would think maybe the tendency then is to believe that it really is up to them and that they're more in control than they think. Would that be fair?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
God bless him. Wow.
Right.
Yeah. Well, give us some backstory on your spiritual journey.
Well, the backstory is, growing up in what I consider as an African-American female, what I would consider is an inner city, not really having that much. I was one of five children of my mom and my dad. We did live in a two-family home. Wanting to be different, wanting to really come outside of what we would call the inner city, where some would call maybe the ghetto, where others would may call the hood, or some may say on the other side of the tracks. I knew I wanted to strive to be something different, to be more. So what I found myself in doing was I began to people please. I wanted to be accepted. I wanted to be liked. I wanted to not be viewed as different. So on that journey, I pretty much lost my way. In high school, I did find the Lord, attended church faithfully, went to church with my aunt and uncle and their family, and I did find the Lord. But by then, I was so confused with who I am, and it was I didn't know what to do. I even began to mimic people in church. I began to watch and see what people were doing so then I would do it, and I would hear fears of people so then I would have fear. I was at a point in my life that I was so confused that I had no idea who I was. Mm-hmm. If anyone was to ask me back then, I wouldn't have been able to answer that question.
So, but go ahead, continue.
God began to literally work on me. I did have a son outside of marriage, but I made a determination then that he was not going to be a statistic. I was not going to be a statistic. So I began to just really dig and find out what God would have for me. Got married when my son was 5 years old, began that journey. My husband at that point was a police officer in College Park, Georgia. But in that journey, we both began to grow in, stronger in the Lord. And he was called into ministry. And living in Atlanta, Georgia, you would have thought we had a life that was just fabulous. We had it all, house, cars, money, we just had it. And within an instant, as I was had just birthed my daughter, in an instant, it was, I'm going to seminary, we're going to sell the house, we're going to move to Columbus, we're going to live in a dormitory apartment. And it was like, what? And the fear just consumed me, because I felt that I made it. I made it outside of the inner city. I made it outside of the ghetto. I made it. And now you're going to take me back to this box of a dormitory and lose everything. I've been communicating to everybody who I have become and what I am. And God, I realized God was working on me, that it wasn't about the material possessions. It was so much more that he had for us. And I had lost my way. I had at one point began to come outside of the fear, but then I put myself in some materialistic things and some type of false persona, if you will. And he began to pull all those layers off, because he had a greater plan for me. But I wanted to keep all those layers on, because, again, I was going into unfamiliar territory, wasn't sure where he was taking me, and I don't know if I could handle all of that. So that was the beginning journey, and that's really the sound journey that helped me write this book.
Well, you know, you said that you'd had such a comfortable life that you'd lost sight of God's promises, and I thought that's really a powerful statement, and it really can and will be true for all of us most of us at least. When you get comfortable, you do lose sight of God's promises. We want comfort, but God wants surrender. So maybe speak to that scenario for us, because we long for those comforts so we can sort of exhale, but it's in that place where we can grow spiritually soft, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most definitely. I put all of my trust in my things, put all of my trust even in my husband, thinking that, oh, he'll take care of me, he'll see me through, that I literally lost the sight of God. It was no longer me going to God asking and praying and seeking and exhorting him. And this is going to sound horrible, but I want to be very transparent. I was exhorting my things. I was loving telling people what I had and how I lived, and I made it through that. I literally became soft when it came to God. Before I could go to the scripture and help somebody and pray with someone. But there was a season where I couldn't even remember a scripture, because I was so caught up in my life, what I thought was a great life.
I appreciate your honesty, but I honestly don't think it's that out of the ordinary. I mean, you hear over and over again, you know, I know a man who said, I had such a fractured childhood, I became a high-level pastor at a mega church, thinking, here, see, people, you were wrong about me. When, in fact, they were wrong about him, but it wasn't because of his status. It was because of who he was in Christ. And so, you know, as things started to crumble underneath them, it was like God was showing up, I'm going to catch you. And I think we have to go through that, because otherwise, even these good things from God's hands, you know, become an idol, don't they?
Mm-hmm, most definitely.
Mm. Well,
if we're not careful, we are caught up in that trap quickly.
Very quickly, yeah, because we want something tangible, you know?
Yes.
Wow. Yes. Well, if you just tuned in, I'm really thankful that you joined us today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Gail Dudley. She's written a book. It's kind of reads like a memoir with some really great spiritual content. Take away 3 copies to give away today. Title of the book is Ready to Change My Name, A Spiritual Journey from Fear to Faith. And if you're someone who really is more aware of your fears than you are the promises of God, you might want a copy. So call in, chime into the conversation. Maybe you've got a question or comment. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Otherwise, feel free to email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. So in the Old Testament, we hear the story of Naomi and her daughter-in-law, Ruth, and many who are familiar with Scripture know that story. but you don't often hear about the other daughter-in-law, Orpah, and yet you identified with her. So maybe tell Orpah's story and why you identified with her.
Yes. As they were traveling along, the two daughters had lost their husband, Naomi had lost her husband, and they're traveling along. And on this journey, it's Naomi who talks to both Orpah and Ruth and say, you know, go back to your family, go back to your homeland. And at first they said no, but then at a certain point, Orpah thinks about it, you know, I should turn back and go to this land that is filled with milk and honey richness, as she remembers. And so she wept, kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, and she turned back. But that whole turning back, when I read that and saw that through God's eyes, that entire turning back, she vanishes from the pages of life. It's like you never hear of her again. And I began to really think about, okay, what would it have been like if Orpah would have continued on the journey? No Boaz was set off for Ruth, but what would life have been like for Orpah? But when I began to look at that, and I think about my time being in Atlanta when we had everything, and I was sitting there thinking as God was speaking to me, okay, if I stay here, I'm going to miss out on what he has for me. If I stay here, I may miss opportunities. Eventually, I believe it would have come around, but it would have taken so much longer. And Orpah just really resonates with me because there's so many times in my life where I did just turn back. And I'll be honest, there's times even today that I think about, if I just turn back, I don't have to face what's before me. But I believe God stretches us to that point that we have to keep on this journey. And I have to remind myself, it's a process. It's not a destination. It's a process. It's not a destination.
And you make such a good point, as Orpah remembered it. And don't you feel like if we have a loss, we have a transition, we have a change, and we're in that in-between season where we're not in our next place of promise yet, it is so tempting to just want things as we remember them, you know, and yet, you know, discontentment would happen in those places. You know, you longed for a better land in those places. We all do that. And, boy, but to just, you know, hear the invitation of the Lord. We're taking calls today. We've got a few copies of Gail's book to give away, especially if you struggle with fear and want to be more identified with your faith. Love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. We've got Thomas calling from Brookings, South Dakota. Thomas, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good. Earlier she was talking about fear and what men would fear, and I'm a single father of three boys, just the first one's entering his teenage years, and I've really been struggling with, number one, am I being a good enough provider to those three kids? Mm-hmm. Number two, I struggle with how people perceive me as a dad, and, you know, am I doing right if I mess up? I'm totally afraid everybody's going to say, see, he couldn't do this by himself. And number three, I fear that I'm not living up to my potential as a dad, as a man, and as a provider for my kids. And the potential part is what I think, I'm just not living up to what God has in store to me. And it's a daily struggle. And I think that it's a control issue. I have a tough time giving up, if you understand what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. I'm always working to try to do better and not laying it at God.
Thomas, I think you are a hero for one thing, being a single parent to three sons, and the fact that you'd even call in because you're concerned about that you're doing enough for them, that says so much about your character. And Gail, I'd love for you to speak to him, and I want to make sure we pray for him. I see some other calls coming in, but I want a chance to pray with Thomas before we hang up. But anything you want to say to him?
Sure, and it's interesting that you said you wanted to pray, because as he was speaking, I'm sitting here thinking, I want to pray with Thomas. First of all, I love your transparency. I think that's awesome. And I will also add, I've had so many men say to me to stop marketing my book to women because they have grown and learned so much from the book as well. And with what you're sharing, I can so relate to that. And sometimes we look at it just as a woman's issue when you are correct, it can be a man's issue as well. And what I would say is continue to do what you're doing, and put your hand in God's hand. find yourself physically doing that. I mean, I know you really cannot touch his hand, but find yourself physically doing that and look at it that God has taken you through this journey and he's with you. He has you all the way through. But the other thing that's so important, you're going to make mistakes. And I think sometimes we are thinking we will never make a mistake. We are going to make mistakes. But it's in those mistakes that we grow and we learn and we develop a more intimate relationship with Christ. The other thing is with my two children, 127, 119, is that I had to remember that even in my mistakes, it helps them mature and grow as well.
Yeah.
When they become an age that I can share those things. And again, that's that transparency. And there's so much strength in being transparent. There's so much strength in even being vulnerable. And sometimes we want to not be vulnerable in front of other people, but it's become vulnerable. That's where we will learn and grow and see God and spend time with him. And we mature in those instances.
You know, and Thomas, really, your humility, as Gail was saying, is so refreshing. And if you remember that there's new mercies at your door every morning, and I often pray this first part of this Beth Moore prayer on the way to work, my calling is not to perfection or performance. My calling is to faith. And so the enemy will come in when we're not perfect or we don't perform just right, but he doesn't get to speak to us. So that's one thing I pray. You know, my calling is not to perfection or performance. It's to faith. And then I just declare out loud so my ears hear me say, I'm in right standing with God, because it's not by what we do. It's what Christ has done. So remind yourself, Thomas, I'm in right standing with God and my calling is to faith. So I'm giving my offering, my imperfect offering of parenting these kids, and God, you're going to multiply it. And so I'm wondering, Gail, if you would pray for Thomas.
Most definitely. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Thomas. We thank you for his strength. We thank you, God, that he has called in just to share in this time. Lord, we pray now that you would continue to strengthen him as he is a father to three beautiful children. God, we ask that you would encourage him. God, we ask that you would just speak life into him right now in the name of Jesus. God, wrap your loving arms around him. May he feel your presence. God, even when he believes he's not going to succeed, let him know that you have him in the palm of your hands, God. Breathe on him right now. Allow a peace which passes all understanding to fall upon him. Mm. God, we love you, and we're going to intercede on his behalf and his children's behalf. God, I just believe that we're going to hear great things and see great things. God, not by his will, but your will be done in and through his life. It is in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Thomas, thank you. God is with you. Don't you feel, Gail, he's so near to single parents. It's just an amazing thing. I so appreciate Thomas calling in. And one thing, Gail, you should know is we have 65% male listenership. And isn't that amazing? So,
that is amazing.
Yeah. Well, we've got Mary waiting on hold patiently calling in from Minneapolis. Mary, welcome, and thanks for your patience.
Oh, you're welcome. And thank you, Susie. I've enjoyed and been refreshed by you many times. Mm. So thank you for all your input. And I know your story and
thanks so
much. All you've gone through. I'm just calling because of I think her book would be very helpful to me and my daughter, who has gone through divorce and processing that and still, you know, working through it yet 2 years down the road, and just hoping and, you know, continuing to pray that she is hanging on to God fiercely, because there is no other way. And I know she has, and yet sometimes those doubts come to her, and just recently that happened, so it struck, this book has struck me today. So.
Well, you'll get a copy, Mary. Make sure you give Grace your address, and there's one more call on hold, if you don't mind, Gail. I want to grab Angela before the break. But Mary, thank you so much for your call. And I'm quite sure Gail's book will encourage her. I want to give Angela a chance to say something, and then you can reply before and after the break if necessary. Angela, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. I wanted to call in and let you know that last night I had prayed to God regarding fear and being caught in a place of transition and the doubt that maybe I would stay here. And just as I turned on the radio, those were the words that you were speaking. And I just truly feel like that was God answering my prayers to him last night. Mm. I'm so grateful for the topic today.
I love that God does that. Do you want to say a word, Gail, to Angela?
I'm just at awe. That is how God will speak and move. So to me, Angela, that is confirmation that God is saying, just trust him.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to believe in God. It's something totally different to believe God. So believe him at his word and know that he is there with you all the way through.
And Angela, he's so taken with you and is so divinely interested in every detail of your life that he would arrange these circumstances. We always pray behind the scenes, let us be in the right place at the right time with the right guests to minister to the needs of our listeners. And that is just proof he cares specifically for you. So thanks for calling. And you'll get a copy of Gail's book. So bless you. Don't you just love how God works, Gail?
I'm sitting here just like, oh, wow. Mm. I'm trying to hold tears back.
Mm. Well, you don't need to hold them back because I'm crying all the time on this show. So, well, really grateful you tuned in today talking to Gail Dudley about her book, Ready to Change My Name, A Spiritual Journey from Fear to Faith. We're going to get to that whole idea that we have a brand new name, a brand new identity. Remember what I said at the beginning? You're not a slight improvement of your old self. You're something new altogether. It's time to be in awe of the redemptive work of Christ in you, because it's downright miraculous. We invite you to the conversation, How Do You Move from Fear to Faith? That is God's invitation to you today. Give us a call, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. More with Gail Dudley in just a moment. So much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. So my question for you is this. When you think of yourself, what words come to mind? I've asked crowds that I've been speaking to that question. You know what words come up? Fat, stupid, insignificant, loser. That's the enemy of your soul talking, because you are a child of the King and you have a purpose written over your life that is so much bigger than you are. It goes beyond your skills and your abilities. It's an invitation from God. Talking to Gail Dudley today, author of the book, Ready to Change My Name, A Spiritual Journey from Fear to Faith. And I was thinking during that short break, Gail, how many people are in transition right now, either because change was thrust upon them because of a life circumstance or because they were feeling the winds of change blowing. They started to take a few steps and they're thinking, like you were saying, I think I want to go back. And let's just talk about that for just a moment, because it is so easy to want to grab onto the familiar. It's almost like a familiar captivity is more desirable than an unknown freedom. So talk about the invitation, but it has to be on God's terms. We don't get the itinerary that we're hoping for.
He does not reveal the entire plan.
Mm-hmm.
You said a key word when we came back in from the break, and I want to grab that if you don't mind. And that key word there was insignificant. That word has haunted me many years of my life. And it's, you know, if I keep going forward, God, am I able to really go forward? Because you know that I'm insignificant. And, you know, there were times that the Holy Spirit would just speak to me. And when I say the Holy Spirit speaks to me or God speaks to me, I'm talking through a word in the Bible, through a radio program like Angela called in and said she called in just at that time. To me, that's God speaking through the Bible. God is speaking. If you read different scriptures or through hymnals or songs, God is speaking. And God will continue to revealed to me that I am significant. But that word had me in so much bondage. And so because of that fear that I was insignificant, I didn't want to move forward. And it's literally, it's like, I'll use the example of a baby going from crawling to walking. I look at that child and I'm thinking, okay, they have to be afraid to let go. But there's something that they're really trying to obtain or trying to reach forward to, that they're going to take this step. And if they fall, they fall, and they just get right back up. And that illustration alone literally propelled me to keep getting back up. It's like it's going to propel me forward. So my mind was saying that I'm insignificant, but God was saying, just try me. And every step I took to get more of a taste with him, I'm thinking, this is pretty good. And there were times, going back to friends, there were times that I wanted to turn back because my friends that I had, I was familiar with. although it wasn't healthy for me, I was familiar with it. And I had to learn to discover my faith even in the midst of my deepest pain. And that pain would just try to consume me. It had me so captive that to some degree I was paralyzed. I wasn't able to move. And it, I had to come to a place where I had to be sick and tired of being there. And I'm reminded of the gentleman who was by the pool of Bethesda for 38 years, and he said, you know, every time the angel would stir up the water, someone would go before me. And I would sit there, and I read that scripture one time, and I thought, wow, why didn't you stay down there by the edge of the pool? And the next time the angel stirred up the pool, you get in. And I'm just thinking about that, and it dawned on myself, why don't I keep moving forward? Because the next time a door opens, I can go through that door. Sometimes we're our own worst enemy, and we're the worst. We're our own worst enemy because fear has literally gripped our minds. But we have to just be intentional of taking those steps forward to freedom.
So good. I read a scripture this morning, and I just read it so fast, I wish I would have camped on it now, thinking about what we're talking about. But it said something to the effect, this is my Susie paraphrase, but if we wait for the right wind and for the clouds to be in place, we'll never plant. And I think that even is just such a word in due season for somebody, because so often we want the itinerary, like, I'll make the first step when all of these things line up. Mm-hmm. But don't you think there's times, I think a lot of times, where we step out without having all the answers, we take the step of faith without having all the information. But so we have to be okay with there being a mystery and an unknown element to following God, right?
Most definitely, because, you know, I laugh sometimes when people say, well, I'm just sitting here waiting on God. I'm like, well, how long are you going to sit there? It's like, hasn't he been revealing things to you all along?
Yeah.
If you take that step, he's going to come along and open the next thing for you, open the next door for you. But I hear that so, and I don't want to just focus on the women, because I know that your listenership is 65% male. But the women I come in contact with, they're like, I'm gonna just wait. I got to get all these things in order, and then I'll move forward. And I'm thinking, you're never gonna get all those things in order. Mm-hmm. You know, now that I have experienced God in a new light, it's like you'll get those things in order as you go.
That's right.
Yes, as you go.
I heard someone say the other day that God rarely shows his plan to us in one big unveiling, that he usually asks for one small obedient step at a time. And he knows it's better for us that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so say a word about that again, because I'm just having this feeling. And if you're that person that needed to hear this, email me, because I want to know, because I'm feeling so strongly that we need to camp here for a moment to encourage you on today without having all the information. Really, often, he doesn't give us the big unveiling. He just gives it. We're kind of on a need-to-know basis. When we need to know, he'll let us know, right?
Right, exactly.
Hmm.
There have been times that I know I have missed opportunities because of that fear of stepping out there. And in doing so, I end up in more despair because I have beaten myself up because I didn't move forward. So literally what that's doing is just stockpiling on top of me, and it's weighing me down even further. So now I have this baggage that I now need to get rid of before I can move forward. And we all know what it's like packing that baggage. We've all heard that illustration that we just keep putting things in the luggage, and eventually we're unable to even move the luggage, even if it's on wheels. It's like it's hard to even pull. But if we just let those things go. My husband said something Sunday. He's a pastor of a church that just really has stuck with me since Sunday. He said, let go, but yet hold on. And I'm thinking, what did he mean by that? And he was saying, let go of our stuff, but hold on to God. But what we do is that we hold on to our stuff and we let go of God.
Yeah.
And that's the opposite. And if we just keep holding on to this mess, And the enemy's excited that we're holding on to the mess. If we just keep holding on to this mess, we literally stunt our growth.
Yeah.
We stunt our growth. And it's one thing to read the word and quote scriptures. It's something totally different to live it. But we have to realize, and we've been to some degree lied to in thinking that once we become Christians, everything is great. No. It becomes more difficult, if you ask me.
Yeah.
But it's a difficulty that I would rather have than to stay where I was.
And the difficulty, I mean, really echoes into eternity, because there's no hardship that we can have if we don't engage our faith that there isn't some blessing in it. So nothing is wasted. And, you know, Gail, the other day, Hubby and I were at our mentor's house having dinner. We do that about once a month. And the husband said, he said, we are not bound by this economy. We deal on a kingdom economy. And he said, in fact, God's promises are true, more true, as true today as they were when we were prospering as a nation. And so he said, don't lose your head. Keep doing what God says, and God will do what he does. And I feel like, again, that's a word for all of us today, because this is a time when many Christians are paying more attention to the news than the good news. And so we have got to rise up in faith and take hold of God's promises. Maybe say more about that.
I totally agree with you. And I'm reminded of the scripture in Hebrews, walk by faith and not by sight. Many of us walk by sight and not by faith.
Yeah.
And in walking by sight, we're not going to go very far because it doesn't look very appealing. But we have to know that we know who Jesus is. His word says he will never leave us or forsake us. His word says that we are the head and not the tail. His word says that we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. His word says he will never give us more than we can bear. That's his word. We have to study to show ourselves approved, be in that word, and live that word. I literally have to turn off the news anymore, because news will cause an oppression and a depression faster than we can think about it, because we begin to live that. But that's not really necessarily our truth, because that means we're putting our faith and our trust in the news and the world and what's going on, and not putting our faith and trust in who Jesus is. And I'm making a decision to be God. I think about the book of Jeremiah, where it says, I knew you before you were formed in the womb of your mom, and that's my paraphrase. And he knew us. He knows us. And he has a plan, a hope, and a future for us. And that hope in the future is not planned for destruction. So we have to believe that. But then that scripture in Jeremiah 29, we stay at the 11th verse, but we really need to go to the 12th, 13th, and 14th verse, where it talks about seeking him and praying. And seeking him and praying, we'll see a brand new perspective there. But we, again, it's about letting go and letting God, but hold on to him and not to what the world's going to give us. Because the world will let us down every time.
Yeah.
He won't.
Yeah.
He will not.
So part of letting go and holding on involves this process of laying hold of our new name. So talk about the whole idea that we have a new name and a new identity.
The new name, when I look at that, and I love the response you gave earlier, beloved daughter, more than a conqueror. I can't remember all of them. But that is that new name that we take on. And a part of it is this this renewed confidence as who we are in Christ. And for me, that new name was daughter, that I can really was able to see and realize that I am a daughter of the King. And when I think about King, I think about, wow, that's the highest office there. And we think about Jesus Christ, and I am actually his daughter. No matter what's going on with me, no matter what I've been through, no matter what I'm dealing with, I'm his daughter. So that entire new name literally transformed my thinking. And I'll give this illustration. I'll use my daughter as an example. She's now 19. My daughter have disappointed me times past, and I'm sure she'll disappoint me even more going forward. But it did not change our relationship. I would discipline her, but I would love her. I would speak wisdom. I would speak life to her. The relationship continued. The relationship forms, and it just evolves. Well, imagine Christ as King and me being his daughter. He has disciplined me. He has loved me. He has shown me the way. I've known there's been times that I've disappointed God many occasions, but he still calls me his daughter. That will never change. So instead of looking at, using the word like I used earlier, that I'm insignificant, I had to remove that name and say, no, my name is daughter. I'm daughter of the King. And that alone was an aha moment for me because it said to me that it does not matter. I am his daughter, and by faith, I'm going to stand with him. And that literally, and I got chills even in saying that again, that literally moved me to a place where it did not matter to me what anyone else thought of me, what they said about me. It didn't matter because I knew, and I know now, that I'm his daughter.
What a powerful identity. And when we put more weight, Gail, in what others think than on what God thinks, you know, it's got to be heartbreaking, but it's also got to be mind-boggling. In fact, I know Scripture says that the heavens gasp when they see us drink from these broken cisterns that don't satisfy. Here, Jesus is offered this brand new identity that's the only one that can redeem and change. And we go, yeah, but I care what they think of me. And so imagine how dangerous we can be in a kingdom way if we could take the power away from people and give it back to God.
Mm-hmm. There was a young lady, if I can jump in here just a second. There was a young lady at church on Sunday, married. She considers herself obese, and I would say that she's a heavy-set woman. I don't know if I would give her the title obese. And she just began to cry telling me her story. And she started saying that she was ugly, and that truly disturbed me. And I said, can you tell me why you're saying what you're saying? And she said, well, because other people say that I am. And I had to let her know, you have to reject those words. You cannot take those words onto yourself. And I even think about how mean we are as people. And as she was sharing the story, it was even some of her Christian brothers and sisters who would say, your weight does not compliment you, or your weight does not make you look good. And at first I became angry that someone would even speak that into her life. But then I prayed with her, and I encouraged her, look at yourself in the eyes of God. And she said something disturbing even further, if that wasn't enough. She said, I think I'm going to just go on a liquid diet for the next 6 months. And I said, don't do that. I said, if you want to change, change for you, not for someone else. And I said, in that changing, what can I do to encourage you? And I look at my book as the same way. I look at the book as a book of encouragement to other people. And I'm able to tell my story, although I share even in the introduction where the enemy was like, I wouldn't do this if I was you. You're putting all your stuff out here. But I would rather be transparent and put all my stuff out there, knowing that somebody else may be free from it, than keeping it to myself, realizing that I'm becoming spiritually dead and other people are staying in bondage. And I think there's something powerful in saying, grab hold of my hand. I'm going to walk this walk with you. And I only wish I had somebody to have made themselves available to walk that walk with me. But I thank God that he's the one who gave me revelation knowledge, and I was able to walk that walk with him. But today I think about how many women and young girls and young adult women who are really needing someone to say, take my hand, I'm going to walk this walk with you.
So good. Talking to Gail Dudley today, she's the author of the book, Ready to Change My Name, A Spiritual Journey from Fear to Faith. We've gone through the three books, but we've got other great resources on our Faith Radio shelf. I would say we probably have 5 minutes left if you call now. 5 minutes left to spend some time with you, talk with you, encourage you, pray with you. So really, no question is goofy and no problem is too deep, right? We want to stand with you, pray with you, and encourage you. So here we go, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Gail, I want you to talk to that person listening today who feels like, I can't get there from here. I mean, I remember being that person. My life was marked by fear and insecurity. And I remember reading a phrase from Brennan Manning about coming to that place where we finally accept acceptance. And you know, it was almost like I had to take a leap of faith to believe that I was someone God loved. And I had to walk in it, even though it didn't feel true. But eventually did feel true. But what can you say to that person who's like, I can't even get my arms around that kind of love? What do I do?
Wow. It really starts with yourself. You know, this may be one of the most painful things you have to do, but I would say start with a self-evaluation. Asking yourself, okay, what's going on with me? and really taking your time through that. And then, you know, that that Romans 12:1, offer yourself as a living sacrifice. I think that's the number one step. In the book, I give a 10-step transformation process, and it starts with living, giving your life as a living sacrifice, and that means you have to give up you. And that's hard because that's what's familiar. And it's saying, God, I'm going to surrender. I love the analogy, come out with your hands up when the police are capturing someone and they're saying, come out with your hands up. And I believe the same thing with Jesus. We have to come out with our hands up. And when our hands are up, we're praising God all the way through this, even through some of the most deepest and darkest secrets. We're coming out with our hands up saying, I surrender. And it's hard. I do not want to lie to anybody. It's hard because when you begin to do that self-evaluation, you'll see some things within yourself that you do not like. And I even want to caution you, don't allow the things you do not like about yourself become guilt or shame. Even taking it a step further, you may even have to forgive yourself of some things. We're always talking about forgiving other people, but we may have to forgive ourselves of some things. I know I had to.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned even in the book, Gail, you talk about an attitude adjustment. And even though we're saved by grace, we live by grace, we're empowered by grace, the reality is it's not carte blanche and how the kind of attitudes that we want to have. And so maybe give us some symptoms that a person might need to make some adjustments to their attitude, because it really comes out of a wrong perspective.
Mm-hmm. One that I had to give up was the fact that it wasn't all about me. I used to have this attitude that it's all about me. But the truth is it wasn't about me at all. It was about Christ. And so I had to give that up. I had to give up selfishness. I was very selfish. I was very transparent earlier talking about I didn't want to give up how I was living in Atlanta, Georgia. I had it going on, at least I thought. And I had to give up that attitude. I had to give up that selfish attitude. I had to give up the attitude that, God, and I'm just going to be real here, that I had an attitude that God didn't know what he was doing. I had to give that up and literally trust him. But I took that same type of attitude and put the energy on wanting to live for God. So instead of saying, you know, this is all about me, I don't care about anybody else, that attitude had to be, you know what, this is all about God.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to strive to do this for God. The attitude of selfishness turned into an attitude of I'm going to give everything that I have.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it my all.
You know,
so it's literally still taking that same energy, if you will, but just make it positive.
So good. Charles called in. He says, what spiritual principle can a person hold on to when they've been hit with personal, physical, or financial loss? That's a great question, Charles. What do you say?
That's a great question. We can hold on to, and this may sound very easy, we can hold on to the promises of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I've been at that place. My husband and I have been at that place where we pretty much lost everything. And it was a matter of saying, okay, God, obviously you're doing something. We don't like it, but we're going to trust you.
Yeah. Some of the promises that come to me, Charles, are no one whose hope is in him will ever be put to shame.
Yeah.
That we have access to every spiritual blessing in Christ. And he's given us the spirit so that we can freely discern the things he's freely given us. And so I think when the tangible seem to go out of our hands, as you were saying at the beginning of the show, that is an opportunity to see what we possess spiritually. And that's, to me, the more tangible, the more we grow in our knowledge of Christ. Those spiritual riches are even greater because they really are what hold us up, don't you think, Gail?
Yes, most definitely. Mm.
Any other advice for Charles? Because, again, I think he speaks for many people in this upside-down economy right now.
You know, I will go back to Jeremiah 29:11. God knows the plans in the future, plans of hope and not destruction. I would also say that you know, to a certain degree, we have held on to things that are literally not of God to some degree. And we have to come to that place of not my will, but thy will be done. And maybe God's will is I want you to go through this season of the desert or of a place of being dry so that you will appreciate me more when I bring you through.
So good. So good. Charles, thank you. And we'll make sure we'll get you a resource from our shelf. You know, one thing that some of the women that have just really ministered to my life, just mentor women, when we've prayed through some things, you know, past issues where I wasn't getting free from them, fear issues, whatever. It's one thing they would always, when they would wrap up the prayer, would say, Lord, show Susie how you see her. And I think that is just a powerful thing to do. And I remember one night, I instantly got this picture of me in this beautiful wedding dress with this wicked sword. And that she'd gotten the same picture at the same time. And I thought that was so amazing. And she said, you're beloved, and you're armed. Because the lie the enemy told me was that I was vulnerable and I wasn't beautiful to God. And it was the exact opposite, that I was dangerous. I was a threat to the enemy and I was very beloved of God. Talk about that. How easy it is, really, just to get with God and say, show me what you see.
It's interesting that you use that analogy because I have a similar picture, but the word for me was that I am a warrior princess. So I'm sitting here like, whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah. We must be related.
But it's literally knowing who we are in Christ. And I think a lot of that has to do that we literally have to feed ourselves the word every day. No matter how small a time or how large of a time span, but feed ourselves the truth, for the truth will set us free. And we have to see ourselves as God sees us. Which if it is negative, and I think I've mentioned in the book in Philippians 4, we have to think on whatsoever things are true, lovely, pure, of a good report. Think of these things. Those are the things we need to think of. Mm. And that's how we can see that picture of who we are in Christ, because those things are good. They're well. They're lovely. They're lively. They're joyful. Those things are that of Christ.
Mm. Gail, this has been just a beautiful, fabulous conversation already. Charles asked, how soon will this be aired again? And so he wants to hear this show. And you can listen to the whole podcast. Our podcast will be up in a little bit, but fabulous conversation. As we wrap up, Gail, I'm thinking of that person listening who just needs a fresh reminder of who they are to Christ and in Christ. Would you pray for that person?
Sure. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you now for we know that your hand is upon all of your children. God, give them a fresh anointing. God, give them a renewed mindset. God, transform their living. God, open their heart, open their ears. God, breathe a fresh word within their life today. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Gail, thank you for your time today, and God bless you, my friend.
God bless you.
Leave you with this passage from Ephesians 1. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It's made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. I want to say a quick word. On Friday, we're doing something called a spiritual reset. So if there's any way, chance, that you can sit with a journal during that show, I'm going to do a little teaching, then I'll place a song and give you a journal exercise. If you're driving, you can just listen and pray while you drive. Then I'll do a little teaching, then I'll play a song, and you can journal. So if there's any way that you can get alone, get a journal, and snuggle up, we're going to have a great time on Friday. Thanks so much for tuning in today.
Hello, my name is Child of the One True King. I've been saved, I've been changed, I have been set free. Amazing grace is the song I sing. Hello, my name is Child of the One True King.
Thanks so much for tuning in today. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. You can find a podcast of today's show up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Can't wait for tomorrow's show. Dr. Richard Swenson has a new book out. It's called Contentment. And this is going to be a powerful conversation, The Secret to Lasting Calm. It really fits in with all that we're doing. Next on Everyday Relationships, Greg and I are going to talk about honoring parents who have children with special needs. If you need some hope and encouragement today or want to know how you can be a blessing to someone who has special needs children, stay tuned. That's next. Thanks for tuning in today. I'll leave you with this thought. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.